Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a short report, then with the assistance of staff, we'll try to answer any questions. The committee standardized bycatch reporting methodology committee met twice since the last council meeting, May the 2nd. It was the Mid-Atlantic at Virginia Beach and June the 12th at Newport. The progress of the meetings, we updated and reviewed the current progress on the amendment, and we had an update on the recent standardized bycatch reporting methodology FMAT meeting. Mike briefly summarized most of the recent FMAT meeting, which was held on May the 25th, and summarized the 2004 observer data discard reasons. Committee reviewed new data summary separated by regulatory and non-regulatory discards. Data are available to review at this level or greater levels of detail, but this distinction is not pertinent to the SBRM amendment. We reviewed the alternatives for the SBRM standards. Committee reviewed, revised, and expanded description and evaluation of alternatives related to the SBRM standards, the target CV and reporting. And there was lots of discussion related to the cell-by-cell versus global approach and how this information would be used. Committee considered additional hybrid approach and had a lot of discussion about that, and there was a motion that failed. Finally, in regard to that, it was a motion to accept the FMAT recommendations of alternative three from both column A and column B, the global target CV with periodic review but no triggers, and that motion passed. Staff presented the results of an exhaustive review of alternate reporting monitoring mechanisms in the discussion of FMET evaluating applicability to Northeast region. We considered electronic monitoring, electronic logbooks, enhanced VMS, electronic transmission of observer data, alternate platforms, and industry-based surveys. Although several of these are interesting and may hold some promise for the Northeast region, the FMAT conclusion was that none of these technologies is mature enough to or appropriate to replace or supplement current bycatch monitoring reporting. Our consensus was to accept the recommendation of the FMAT regarding the use of the alternate reporting and monitoring mechanisms in the Northeast region at this time. The committee posed questions to the NIMS Northeast Region Observer Program staff, Dave Potter and Amy Van Atten from the Observer Program answered questions of the committee and brought some clarity to the discussion. The committee discussed developing recommendations for data elements to be collected on VTRs and by observers. The council, I think everybody at the council has a letter that was presented to the committee from Environmental Defense and on behalf of several organizations in the ASMFC requesting consideration of several provisions intended to improve the monitoring of river herring discards by fishery observers. The consensus of the committee after reviewing this letter and some conversation with the observers was the committee to support the intent of a letter and to recommend that the council send a letter to the Fishery Observer Program endorsing the procedures identified in the letter and encouraging the Fishery Observer Program to take steps to improve the identification of river herring by observers. Basically, what's happening here is there is some concern and that river herring or elwise or blueback herring are being misidentified. So after the report, I would ask the council if they would so endorse a letter. Other than that, there were no other suggestions for changes to either data collected by the observers or through the fishing vessel trip report were made. Staff updated the committee on plans to conduct a peer review of three analytical elements of the SBRM amendment. This peer review would occur in August by five or six members of each council science statistical staff committee. Council staff are working on selecting members to participate in this review. We discussed the plans for a super advisory panel meeting. The meeting was scheduled and was delayed due to difficulty getting sufficient participants given short lead time. We now think that the meeting will be planned for mid-July. That's basically, in a nutshell, where the committee is and what we did at the last meeting, and the work of the committee is progressing very well, I think. And if there are any questions, as I said earlier, with the assistance of staff, we'll try to answer them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other committee members that would like to add anything? Okay. Questions of Dana? Well, relatively simple. Anybody else? Mike?
Sorry, just one additional point to remind the council that one of the things in the binder was the revised timeline that was approved by the committee at the May meeting that was held in conjunction with the Mid-Atlantic Council. So you might want to take a look at that just so you have an understanding of where we are versus where we plan to be as far as the development of this amendment.
Okay. Any questions on the data?
Seeing no further questions, Mr. Chairman, I would ask the council, or I can make a motion if the council would be willing to send a letter to the observer program urging them to update the standards as the county river hearing.
Okay. Is there any objection on the council on sending that letter? John?
Which letter are you referring to?
Dana.
The letter I'm referring to is to ask the council to send a letter, John. The letter that, are you asking which letter we were referring to that was given to the committee? I think you have a copy of it. Yes. And again, Mr. Chairman, this one of the lead signers on this letter was the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission that stated some concern about this. And during the conversation with the observers, they realized there may be some shortfalls in this, and they are very willing to work on this.
Okay. So if there's no objection, Dave?
Yeah, by endorsing this, are we endorsing the specific methodology in this letter or just that a methodology be developed? I mean, parts of this I see as being probably useful. Some of it I'm not sure is quite so useful.
No, we're not endorsing the specific methodology of the letter, Dave. It came out in the discussion that probably river herring were being classified as something else, and it was just for the council to talk to the observers, and maybe a little extra training could be added, could be done with the observers so that they can identify these. It seems that they're misidentified as other things in the process, so it's basically just not endorsing the letter, but just a memo to the observers to pay a little more attention to the process.
Right. I mean, that I could endorse. It's. I mean, river herring and alewives, especially as juveniles, are very difficult to identify. Matter of fact, a lot of times you've got to break them open and look at the color of the swim bladder to positively ID them, which means they really have to be brought back to a lab or something unless you want somebody snapping the fish in half on the boat. So that's why I say, I mean, some of these protocols might be useful, but I'd like to see the observer program develop a program that they would find, doable or acceptable or something that, was you know, practical for them to proceed with.
Yeah, Dave Potter and others from the Observer Program were at the meeting yesterday, and there was an informal discussion between the lead author on the letter and Dave Potter that then the committee decided that it wanted to endorse further working out of some of the recommendations that were made in this letter. And my understanding was not that the committee was saying the Observer Program should do all these things that are spelled out in the letter, but there should be a continued discussion about how to improve identification of these fish that seem to be misidentified.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay. So it wasn't a motion. We'll just send it by without objection. Okay. In the back?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kip Rogan with Oceana. I've just got a couple of technical issues. I've got a couple of questions about the overall SBRM process. This has been a relatively cryptic process with the FMAT taking the lead on this as far as information being made available to the public and review drafts and things like that. And I was wondering when a draft would be available of some of the alternatives or some of the work that's come out of the FMAT. Is that something that is scheduled?
Pedro or Mike?
Yeah, I've been working with the council staff, and for the materials for yesterday's committee meeting were put up on the council's webpage a week or so ago. So that people would have access to those in advance of yesterday's meeting. And we're going to strive to continue to do that. And basically, it's just been a logistical thing in making sure that we get FMAT meetings scheduled far enough in advance of committee meetings that we can get the results of the FMAT in advance of the meeting. So we'll continue to do that. So there is some material available on the web now. The next major sort of decision point will be, or the plan is, at the end of July we'll have the write-ups of the major analyses being conducted by the center will be completed and available for the peer review panel to have in advance of their meeting. And so those will be made available as well as any materials that would be subject for the committee review at their next scheduled meeting, which is tentatively July 31st or August 1st, in conjunction with the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting in Philly. So expect to see those documents published on the web as well. And then after that, the next major sort of decision point would be a draft of the public hearing draft SBRM amendment, which we plan to have available for the public in advance of the September New England Council meeting. And again, I would work with the New England Council staff to post those documents on the webpage.
The other question is the development still on schedule as it was originally proposed, or I've been hearing word of things being delayed by a number of months. Has there been a decision on that?
That was what I was just referring to. And the council binder for this meeting is the schedule, the revised timeline, which shows both the original timeline that was agreed to in June, back in January, and the revised timeline, which was accepted by the committee at the May Mid-Atlantic Council meeting. So that we're still on track for the revised timeline, which would have a public hearing draft available in September and public hearings in November, December, with the appropriate time for a peer review in August.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks very much.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Again, back to the motion, Mr. Chairman. It's not clear to me what exactly we are requesting. We are responding to the letter that was sent to us by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Chair, Preston Pate, and other organizations listed in this June 12th letter to the chair of the Bycatch Reporting Methodology Committee, correct? that's the purpose of this motion, to formulate a response to that letter. It's not? Well, then I need to have the intent of the motion clarified.
I'll try to help a little bit. The letter, the original letter that was provided yesterday, suggested that the SBRM committee take this up as something to be incorporated into the amendment. And through discussions, the informal discussions we had yesterday, it was pretty clear that it wasn't really appropriate for this level of detail, in other words, observer sampling protocol detail, to be included in the amendment. It was more appropriate for this to basically be conveyed directly to the observer program, so that they could look at their sampling protocols and see what could be improved and strengthened regarding river herring. So rather than just have it be a audience to audience member going, yeah, we'll take a look at this, thanks, the committee felt that if we got an endorsement from the councils encouraging the observer program to look at this letter and consider some of these ideas to strengthen sampling for river herring, then that would carry more weight than just the informal agreement between the audience members at the meeting.
All right, if I may, Mr. Chairman, that certainly sounds like a well-thought-out approach that will be well-received by the chair of ASMFC, I would anticipate. So I would support the motion if indeed the motion is completely consistent with the points that we just made. They seem to be.
Scott? Okay. Well, actually, I did it without objection, so we didn't have a second, so we'll stay with there's still no objection. Okay. John, new issue?
Yeah, just, I guess this would be a question for staff. What? We've got this process. We have a timeline here, and what's the end product look like? I mean, there's a lot of reference to CVs and matrix and 2% thresholds and rare events and everything. But I mean, when you go down this road and you're done, what does the council end up having to insert into its FMPs? What are we looking at?
That's a good question, and it is kind of somewhat confusing, or it's just different from a more typical amendment approach, where you have a suite of management measures that turn into regulations. At this point, what we're looking is to ensure that what the final product completely and adequately documents the procedures, protocols, and ways in which we collect data on discards, and utilize those data to ensure that both stock assessments can be done and managers have appropriate information to use to understand the implications of discarding that occurs. So a lot of the decisions of the committee up to this point have been basically enabling the center staff, who are doing the bulk of the analytical work, but the FMAT as a whole, to give us some direction so that we make sure that we're not just completely off on our own, doing a bunch of analyses under a set of assumptions that haven't been vetted through a council process. So by utilizing the joint council committee, we have those sort of review points where we're making sure that we're going, that our assumptions mesh with the intent of the committee, in order to come out with a product that is understandable by the committee and ultimately the councils and can be accepted by the councils. But it's somewhat unique in that at this point we're not going to be proposing any new management measures. No new regulations would be implemented. It's really just making sure that we've adequately documented our protocols and procedures relative to bycatch, and that those are, that those were implemented for all the FMPs of both regions. So that's why we're calling this an omnibus plan, and we are going to be covering all of the fisheries for all of the FMPs. So it's a complex document in structure, but the ultimate results as far as asking the councils to approve new regulations is not the typical process that we would go through.
Thank you for that. So basically what this is an audit of all available information, and then the FMAT in coordination with the committee is going to make decisions as to what's the core base of knowledge of bycatch events in our fisheries based upon observer data over a period of time. And then that information is going to come back, I guess, to the council and go through a public process. I imagine there'll be a range of alternatives about what CV level is a acceptable level to either, as you refer to, shade in a block or leave it white. And then ultimately, when we're done, we're going to end up with a document that maybe resembles what we're doing with the FH right now, which is the chart will be on a piece of paper, and there'll be blocks shaded or not shaded, and there'll be different options based on what level of interaction you want to look at. And then those sections will then be put into the next action for each FMP. They'll become the template by which we base our decisions on?
No, not really. You will see a public hearing draft of the amendment, you know, in the fall. There will be a round of public hearings to look at the issues that are presented and discuss the ramifications. But I think at this point, what it looks like, the major thing that we're going to implement with this amendment is a process by which information, discard-related information, will be presented to the councils and measure that the success of, or essentially the effectiveness of the SBRM against some performance measures so that the councils will have available a way to judge whether or not the information they're getting is sufficient. The amendment will stand alone. I mean, the amendment will be implemented, and it will cover all of our FMPs. The reporting process, depending on the way the councils go with how and when they want the reports presented, could likely be folded into the SAFE report process or an existing annual review. The Mid-Atlantic Council does a lot of annual reviews through their monitoring committee. Those monitoring committee reports might be appended to include a bycatch, an SBRM evaluation. The New England Council SAFE reports, if the New England Council adopts that process, could be amended to include an SBRM evaluation. So there'd be some routine and kind of like we do with the SAFE reports, where we're looking at a certain set of information for evaluation by the councils and potential action that would be provided to the councils as a result of this amendment. It would also make sure that everyone understands what data are being collected by our various discard monitoring and reporting protocols, how those data are used, and what standards are established to ensure that information is sufficient for its various purposes. The level of alternatives in the typical sense of coming to the council with a suite of alternatives with a NEPA analysis is going to be fairly constrained in the sense that most of these are very technical analytical exercises, and we have been looking to the committee for some guidance and to run things by the committee before we get too far down the road. But things like that white-gray matrix, that was really just, you know, making sure the committee understood where we were with the process, and now we're proceeding down a road to complete analysis based on a certain structure of that matrix. It's really not something that you're going to see it. You're going to see the results of the analysis incorporated into that matrix, but it's not going to be something where you have option A has this set of gray cells and option B has a different set of gray cells, because that's not the function of that matrix.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a little more clarification on the letter. If I recall with the haddock bycatch problem, initially, we looked towards the at-sea observers, and there was some benefit to seeking improvements to at-sea observer program. But in developing the amendment, the majority of the action was placed on dockside enforcement and monitoring as opposed to at-sea observers. And we moved in that direction of looking at the catch as opposed to observing at sea. It's very difficult, as we all talked about, when a vessel is, you know, fishing for 300,000 to 500,000 pounds of herring to determine what we need and what Atlantic states need is what is a quantifiable bycatch of river herring, a quantifiable bycatch of haddock. So, you know, my feeling is that this is a state-federal joint problem for enforcement and dockside monitoring, just from our experience with haddock. Am I wrong on that? Or I have no problem sending a letter to the observer people, but I think the benefit will be minimal when you talk about the process of catching herring and separating at sea some type of, you know, bluebacks from Atlantic herring. So I think that the states and federal enforcement should be the targets of this letter to, you know, to determine the extent of the bycatch when monitoring offloads.
I would tend to agree. The motion or the request to send the letter was the result of the conversation with the people, the observer program. So they agreed that there was some faults, and then just a letter to point this out. It basically was requested even by them just to get it to highlight the problems that maybe there is some misidentification. And if a little bit more attention was paid to by the observers on board, it might help. I would definitely agree that this is a much bigger issue than that, and I think they did too.
So, want to give me some leeway and you'll approve it?
Okay. So we'll give Paul a leeway, and then Paul's got some leeway to write the letter, and then we'll get it out. Take a look at it. Okay. Rip? Nope. Okay. Gotcha. Sally?
Thank you. I've been scratching my head a little bit, too, and we had a discussion yesterday about the proposal that was brought forward by the FMET, and since we don't have a meeting summary, I just wanted to make sure that people knew that there was a fairly lengthy discussion about an additional alternative and what the target CV should be. The motion failed. I'm not going to bring it up again here, but it was an attempt to make sure that we're considering the discussions that we've had, especially over the last couple of years. The example I raised was in the context of the herring fishery, where interest in bycatch has been high in recent years. And to make sure that all the attention that's been paid there and the work that the observer program has done to make sure that there's sufficient observer coverage to make sure that we have a decent CV or an appropriate CV, that isn't lost. So we had that discussion. The motion failed. I don't know what else to say other than I just have to express some level of feeling constrained by the scope of the amendment as it's been, as it's moved forward, and concern that we may lose some of the good work that's been done in recent years, especially in the context of the herring fishery, to make sure that we're actually at least having a target level of observer coverage that's appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. John?
Mr. Chairman, I think we were in Portland when we talked about this the last time, this process. Was there a document in that binder that described this process, why we're doing it, and what we expect to get out of it?
Mike?
Yeah, there was, I'm not sure if it was the last meeting, but at least the meeting or two before that, there was the action plan, which was presented to the committee in January and approved by the council in January. And then I think it was also in the meeting binder for the next meeting, because it had been revised and finalized based on some comments at the two January meetings. And the only thing that's changed since then is the timeline associated with the amendment, which is in the binder today.
I'll have to go back and read that action plan. It's just not really not clear what we're doing here. So, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, your mic's not on.
Right. I have a question based on the material provided outside. And on page one of the document that says Joint Oversight Committee for the Standardized Bycatch, in paragraph two, it appears to state the goals of that committee. And the goals seem to be much broader than what's being discussed right now, which is constrained to a discussion of how to measure bycatch. So I understand the goals of the committee, that the goals of the committee are, in fact, to develop a trigger for, say, the non-management planned fisheries as well as the managed fisheries. And I don't hear a discussion of that. The discussion seems to be very narrow and based on methods. And the reason I raise that is because on page three of this document, there's a note saying that about 15% of the bycatch is non-fishery management plan species. And on page two, it says 84.4% of the bycatch is by weight managed, which suggests that about 40% of the catch is discard. Is that right? That's where the numbers kind of add up. Is if 15% is non-fishery management plan discard, so these are the non-targeted species, but 84% by weight are targeted species being discarded, that's a very high discard, and I would have thought this committee had jurisdiction over that.
Let me clarify the second point first. The 84.4 and the 15 are meant to sum to 100. In other words, of all recorded observed discards by weight, roughly 85% of those discards are of species that are managed by one of the two councils.
Okay, fair enough.
The other remaining 15% are of species that aren't managed by any federal group.
Okay, what's the total discard then? What would you estimate is the total discard?
We don't have that information right now. We were looking at what was recorded by fisheries observers and breaking it out by species to compare relative how much of the discards are managed species versus non-managed species.
So as a member of the public just coming in here, it seems to me the central question, or one of the central questions, is what percent of the total catch is bycatch or non-targeted? And I would have thought that that committee had, as I read your the objectives, had some jurisdiction over that issue, and therefore the amendment should not be narrowly focused just on methods for gathering data, but more broadly based to address the issue of bycatch in general.
Yeah.
George?
Yeah, I think this has been made clear on several occasions, but apparently not. Let me try again. This particular amendment, which is an omnibus amendment for all the FMPs in the Northeast, is not about bycatch reduction measures. That is the second phase of this this project. This is very specifically targeted at remedying a deficiency that litigation has pointed out to us in a couple of our FMPs, scallops and groundfish, in that a requirement of the Magnuson Act is that every FMP must have standardized bycatch reporting methodologies sufficient to basically allow managers to understand what's going on in that fishery relative to bycatch. That's all this is. It is not about mitigation measures. It's to provide a process that everyone can understand, that's mandated,
and that will provide managers on both councils the information they need to make further decisions in further actions about where and what kind of measures might be needed. So this is very narrow, and you have to remember that. This is it's a building block in the process. It's to provide the information needed to go the next step.
Okay. Anybody else? Bennett, Dana?
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. What I think we'll do now, we're behind schedule, but I've been assured we're going to get ahead of it on Habitat. What I'd like to do is go into closed session now before lunch. So if we can do that, we'll have to clear the room. We'll go into closed session. We'll break for lunch, and depending on how long we are in closed session. Wait a minute.
Light that's not working.